Going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't think I could find my bookmarker when I was going over this, so I didn't mark it. Third coffee stain from the left there. It'd probably be about where... yeah, right after a big coffee stain. Ephesians chapter 6. Give us a second to get there. Hey, amen. I heard that... Weatherman, I think, said that this pattern we've been in with the rain every evening, all supposed to get on out of here, man. I'll be glad of it. I feel like I'm turning to mold now. Rains every time you turn around. These verses here are very familiar with us, and we looked at some of them already. I've been doing a little preaching on prayer, but I want to focus in a different section and different direction tonight. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight and those that are here. And Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, pour your spirit out upon us here in this place. Lord, fill us all that are saved. Lord, speak to hearts. Lord, you know every need once again that we have. And we're just praying that you speak to us, Lord. Meet with us. Make yourself more real each time we meet. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got something I got to underline. I told them earlier after y'all in Sunday school hour, the choir was stole all my pens this morning, so I'm going to have to go in there and get some more. I got one left. Amen. All right. You know, the title of the message tonight is The Real World War One. The Real World War One. And, you know, I did a series of messages on, as I said, on prayer. And last Sunday night, I didn't necessarily kind of took a break from that, but I kind of picked that back up again tonight. And as I said, some familiar verses for us. And, you know, a lot of times when we preach on this text right here, we kind of focus on the armor of God, you know, and we already actually preached about that some, you know, having your loins girt about, it says there, you know, stand having, therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Of course, that's the word of God and as well. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, you know, Jesus Christ himself, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we know about faith helping us in that area right there, and then the helmet of salvation, and then and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we see the Word of God a couple of times, but I want you to see verse 18, and there's a lot in verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. We see that word again, for all saints. You know, that's a mouthful there. We know about praying as, certainly as a weapon, you know, as a tool and a weapon. And it says, with all supplication in the Spirit. You know, you can preach a whole message on praying in the Spirit. You could preach a whole message on watching. You know, it says about watching. I'm talking about that. What are we watching for? There's several things probably, but in this context, watching because Satan's out there, as I said this morning, he's going to get after us when we try to, you know, draw closer to God. So there's watching right there, and talks about supplication for all saints. That means about praying for one another, that we all need prayer. And, you know, Ruth mentioned that tonight about, you know, praying for Margie. And listen, I pray for people sometimes when they're praying. Because, you know, sometimes you get to praying, man, your mind just gets stuck. I prayed for the person that was actually praying that God would give them the words to say while they were praying. And so, yeah, I need prayer all the time. I like Brother Dwight O. Steele, he preaches down in Roanoke. I think it's Freedom Baptist. He's a black fella, and he starts off like he's going to fall asleep when he starts talking. But, buddy, when he gets preaching, he gets with it. I liked to hear him the other day, and hadn't heard him for a long time. But he'll read the text and make a couple comments, and he's always talking real slow like this. And he'll end this slow part by saying, "I need your prayers." Then, boy, they must pray because, buddy, he gets going after that. I mean, you know you're going to get through the message right after that. So, I need your prayers when I pray, and we certainly need prayers one for another. And it's not just, sometimes we just wait so much till we get the text from Terry that says somebody's liver's falling out in the street and we need to pray for that person. You know, listen, there's lots of other things that we need to be in prayer about. Besides those things, there's spiritual battles that are going on that are a whole lot worse than the physical battles that most of us have to go through in life, and we need to be praying about that. It says pray and watching. As I said this morning, I mean, Satan's not going to leave us alone. You can forget about it. I mean, there's no way that we're going to get so spiritual that we're serving God and that we resist the devil a couple times. And the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But I want to tell you something. He don't stay gone forever. I mean, it ain't like he flees off and then that's it. Well, I'm done with him. He fled and he's not coming back. No, he's coming back. You can get ready for that. He is coming back. And when he comes back next time, he'll have more armor of his own and more power and more weapons and more demons and whatever. And the attack could get a whole lot worse. And so, we got to watch for that. It's so easy. You know, the more you know, and this will come out in another point tonight, but the more you know about the enemy, when you know how he works and you know how he operates, listen, you can almost get a little grin, even though you may be going through a stressful thing. You can almost say, boy, there's the old devil right there attacking. I can see it. I can see it. Man, and I've seen stuff happen, and I knew it was Satan right off the bat. And, all you have to do, if we all would just realize that, we just say, hold up, man, why are we giving? We don't have to let Satan have the victory because he's already defeated. Just stop right there and just say, hey. So we got to, if we're watching, we know what it is. Just be watching. So, we got to pray. We got to watch. Listen, there's several things to think about there. What do we pray about and what are we watching for? Well, as I said, we see that the Christian life is a war. I use this title, the real World War I. You know, I guess World War I was in the early 1900s somewhere for my time. But it was way back there. But listen, there was a world war going on way before that date right there. There was a world war going on from the foundation of the world when Adam and Eve, when Satan came and tempted them, and Satan had been on the world, on the earth right then, and he's been attacking God and God's people ever since day one. Listen, it's been a world war going on. The Christian life is a war. Now, we think, well, boy, that sounds pretty gloomy. How am I going to convince somebody to get saved when I tell them that the Christian life is a war? Yeah, but it's good being in a war when you know you done won. You know the outcome. You ever watch reruns of your old favorite football team? They had a game, a real famous game. You know that you already knew they won. Boy, it's a lot easier to watch it when you already know the outcome than it is when you're watching it in real life, biting your nails, wondering how the score is going to come out. When you already know they won, you just lay back in a lazy boy, fall asleep watching it, right? I mean, that's the way we have won this war. And so it's really not a gloom and doom thing. It's kind of like, man, I like being on the winning side. When you was a little kid, you know, you would go out there and you'd picking up teams or picking up sides or you were going to do something. There was always somebody that was better than everybody else, and that's the side you wanted to be on. You know, I don't want to be on the other side because you knew you were going to lose. You're on the winning side. Well, see, we're on the winning side. And so, boy, it's a lot more fun when you know that you're on the women's winning side. I said this morning and reiterate tonight, the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, you're the enemy of Satan. And regeneration has made your heart a battlefield. We got a battle. And our hearts are the battlefield. I mean, it's just the way it is. But once again, you know, the war's won, it's taken care of, and there's a couple things I'll point out along the way that'll go along with that. But, you know, every day when you think about this, we do get in a spiritual conflict. I don't know how it will, you know, how it happens. It may happen different every day. It may be just a spiritual conflict when you get up in the morning as to whether you're going to even pray. It may be a spiritual conflict when you get up in the morning as to whether you're going to read your Bible. I'm running so late. Listen, if you're running so late you don't have time to read your Bible, you're running late. Listen, you're running late in a lot of other areas besides getting to work on time. It may be that spiritual conflict. There may be some temptation. It may be that extra Twinkie laying on the counter there that you know you shouldn't eat. I don't know if that's a spiritual battle or a physical one. Maybe both. But, you know, it may be you may have a spiritual battle, right off the bat. There's a conflict doing what God wants you to do. Adam and Eve used that this morning in the Garden of Eden, and there was that temptation to do something they shouldn't have done. They had that temptation. There was a conflict that was going on. We're in that. And sometimes, you know, it even gets to be a physical conflict because I said the other night, you know, listen, God works through people and Satan is a counterfeit. And so Satan works through people too, right? And so sometimes, you know what, you get up there and you have a spiritual conflict that turns into a physical. It may not come to punches, but it can be a verbal altercation with somebody else. And so it turns into the physical. More about that in a minute as well. You know, a lot of people think that being a Christian is like being on a cruise ship. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said the average Christian thinks Christianity is a cruise ship and it's really a battleship. Huh? You know how a cruise ship is. Everything goes smooth. Boy, they wait on you, cater to you. Man, I don't know. I've never been on one, but, I've heard about it. And, boy, you can eat all the time and all that good stuff. And that's probably not a good thing. That's probably, boy, you're talking about a battle, boy, eat or not to eat. You know, boy, you'd be going. But it's really, we're on a battleship. And it's time to be at war. Think about it in that terms. A winning side, though. God versus Satan, and we're involved. And you think, well, I don't want to be involved. Doesn't matter. It's too late. You're involved. You know, that's it. Now, you may not be in the battle. You could be AWOL. You can be AWOL. That's absent without leave. A lot of people are AWOL. Some of them AWOL tonight, right? You could be AWOL. I believe you still, it'd be like the big bully at school. You may not want to fight him, but he still might want to kick your hind parts. And he might, and you don't, you know, and you say, well, I'm not going to fight back. You still may get a whip. It's the same with Satan. Look, you may not want to fight back, but he's still going to get you. He's still going to come and get you. So you're in it right there. So understand that. We got a battle. Satan is the enemy. And the Bible tells us, I said this morning, he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a destroyer. And Satan, like God, uses people and works through people. And as I said, it can manifest itself in the physical. I have seen some people I thought for sure that they were either possessed by the devil or they were the devil himself. You know, I've seen that, you know, and you might have been around people like that as well. So we got a battle that's going on. And once you understand, we got a battle. Now, another thing we see is the battlefield. The battlefield. We know we're at war. The Bible tells us with the flesh, the world, and the devil. You know where the biggest battlefield we have? It's right here. Amen. It's your mind. It's the battle that goes on. Most of the battle goes on in our mind. You start thinking you're defeated, or you start thinking that you're losing. You start thinking, you know, things. Listen to this. The U.S. Marine Corps Book of Strategy. It states this: positions are seldom lost because they have been destroyed, but almost invariably because the leader has decided in his own mind that the position cannot be held. Almost every battle is that way. The position is seldom lost because the enemy destroyed the position, but what happens is it's usually lost when the leader says, you know what? We can't hold this position any longer. We got to bail out, retreat, and they give up the position that they've got. And that's the truth a lot of times, I think, in the Christian realm. You know, Christianity a lot of times is like this. I think there's so many Christians that when you talk to them, they're talking from the side of defeat. It's like they're whipped. Oh, preacher, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Man, my life's a mess, and I got this going on, and I'm worrying and fretting and sweating and stressing, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know, you know, and like I said, there's certain people I just don't say, hey, how's it going? Oops, shouldn't have said that. And, you know, you're going to be there for the next hour figuring out how it's going, and it's usually not good. Nobody usually comes up and talks to you for an hour on how great everything's going, do they? Boy, man, I'll tell you what, life is good, man. I just can't tell you what God's doing in my life, man. He's been doing this and doing that. Boy, I got the victory, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm on fire for God. When does that ever happen? When does that ever happen? It doesn't happen. People are defeated all the time. No, we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be defeated. I'll tell you about that here in a little bit. You know, Paul calls us this. He said, okay, the battle's in our mind. So the Bible makes it clear, and Paul calls it. He tells us to renew our minds. To renew our minds. Modern terminology, we'd say, get your head right. Get your head right. You know, I got to get my head right. You hear fighters say that sometimes. The coach is telling them, get your head right, get your head right. Get your head right. That's it. You know, when you think about Adam and Eve, and they used them this morning, and Satan came along. He didn't take the apple or whatever kind of fruit it was. He didn't take the forbidden fruit off the tree, run over there, grab Eve in a headlock, jam it in her mouth, and, you know, said, eat it. You know, he didn't do it. All he did was he messed with her mind. He said, did God really say it? Hath God said that? You're not really going to die. See, Eve right then could say, yep, God really said it. No, God said I'm going to die, I'll die. Huh? She could have. See, what happened was all he did was plant little seeds of doubt. And what happens to the average? What happens to us? We start really, well, I know, preacher, the Bible says that, but. You put that old nasty word, but. But, no, the word says it, and that's it. Don't, you know, somebody used to say, don't put a comma where God put a period, right? God said it, and that's a period. It's not, but in my case is so unique to all of humankind. Nobody ever had the problems I got. Nobody's ever been attacked by Satan like me. Nobody's ever had it just as bad as I got it. God's never seen a problem like this. That's how, you know, that's kind of how people talk. Most people got that about everything. You know, when you talk to people and it's going to be flu time coming up, and everybody in the world, no matter what they got, I got the worst case of the sniffles that the doctor ever saw. Huh? Nobody ever got just a common cold. It's the worst sore throat, the worst sniffles, the worst cough, the worst hangnail. You never, the doc, everybody in the world setting a world record. We're having Olympics for, we're having the Olympics for injuries. You know, mine is worse. No, I got the gold medal in worse. You just got the silver. We do that a lot of times with our problem. It's like, I know what God says, and God can take care of everybody else's problem in the whole world, but mine's unique, and it's not, God can't do it. God just can't do it. This is where the but comes in, just in my case only. You know, it's what's happening there. You're losing the battle in your mind in the area of faith. You think, because this is how we justify. I know God could do it. I just don't think he's going to now. You know, we got a kind of a lot of different angles that we look at it like that. Adam and Eve had this battle, and you and I have it too. We got to either listen to Satan or listen to God. And seldom, as I said this morning, seldom does Satan ever come up and just flat out says, no, or you can't do this. He's too smart. He just uses other strategy. Put it off. Do it a little bit different. Maybe do some of it, but don't do all of it. He just uses all this stuff that's so easy to do. Battle of your mind. The Bible says there in our text tonight, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Listen, Satan's not really beating us down all that much in the physical sense. I mean, sin itself is what's taking its toll on us in the physical sense. It's not necessarily Satan. Satan's not beating us down there because he said we're not wrestling against flesh and blood necessarily, but it's against principalities and powers. Well, where does that wrestling match take place? It's in the mind. It's in the mind. You got a battle that's going to go on in your mind. And man, you know, we all know how our mind can work. Listen, there's sometimes I wake up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I wake up and I start thinking about, oh, this has got to be getting done, and this here is stressing me out, and what about this here? And you know what? man, you can get pretty depressed. I'm about ready to take a pill before I get up, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, and I realize it. I'll say, man, you know. But, you know, sometimes you still have to struggle with it. And you finally maybe get back to sleep. Maybe you don't. But later on you're thinking, man, why did I let all that stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning bother me? It's just in your head. Because you're laying in darkness. You're just laying there, you know. There's nothing going on. You can't get. It's in your mind. You got your battle in your mind. Doubt. Think about it. Doubt, fear, indifference, distractions, worry, anxiety, stress. Probably a zillion other things I didn't even think about. Where does all that take place? It's in the mind. You know, how many of you have ever done this? I know you've done this. How many of you had worried yourself sick about something that might happen? I mean, you know, well, you think, well, you know, this might take place, and boy, if that happens, and this is going to happen. It's like playing dominoes. I mean, you've already, if that happens, and this will happen, and when that happens, brother, this is really going to be bad, and when that happens, boy, and you'll lay in there all night long thinking about it, and then you know what happens? What? How much of it happens? None of it. Huh? None of it. And you go worry yourself sick. Where did all that happen? It only happened in your head. It didn't even really happen in reality yet. You're defeated by losing a battle that's going on in your own mind. Now, it can be physical. Listen, I said this morning, kidding around, half kidding around. I've been in some of them. You know, it can get in a physical sense. Church business meeting, you know, we're going to have one tonight. Probably a good time. Huh? We shouldn't be. But, I mean, yeah, you know, there's been, man, people get all stressed out and taxed out, you know, around there. And, man, other people's not happy. Somebody's not happy with what you did, and you're not happy with what they did, you know. And the next thing you know, man, you got something that's gone on in your mind comes out in a physical sense. Man, church, it happens at home. Man alive, World War I, II, III, all rolled in together right there in the house. That goes on, right? You know, workplace sometimes. Sometimes it's a battle with family, friends, co-workers. I mean, you know, but listen to this. In those cases, the mind is always involved. Think about pride. Where does it pop up at? It's in the mind. I know the heart's involved. I understand it. But it's in the mind. Well, somebody done hurt my feelings. Well, how do you know your feelings are hurt? Your mind told you that. Huh? But a dead man tells no tales, and also a dead man can't feel anything, right? And if we're dead to Christ, we're not going to feel it, right? There you go. So there's a battle that's going on. It happens up in our mind. And then, but we got to understand some things about how to win the battle. And you know, on another point, and I might have wrote this down. Let me see, just to see. I didn't want to skip over it if I did. It'll come up somewhere if I didn't. Yeah, I got it in the end. You know, we got to win the battle. Well, I said a little earlier, you know, one of the ways, and probably in the Marine Corps, I didn't read the whole thing, just in the Marine Corps manual there, one of the things is, the number one thing, understand the enemy. Is we got to understand the enemy. The very first thing, as I said earlier and even this morning, this is one thing you can understand about the enemy. When you start drawing close to God, Satan's going to start drawing close to you. Huh? Yeah, Satan's going to come up, and you might as well be ready for it. But, you know, you don't have to fear that. Say, well, look, I'm not going to get close to God. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray because, man, I don't want Satan messing with me. Satan's already got you. That's how slick he is. It's a no-win. You can't outmaneuver Satan. So just get close to God. You know, well, but you got to get ready. And because your warfare will increase, but it's all right. You're going to win. You got the win. You know, you got the winning guy on your side. You know, if we are, think about it, if we are who we're supposed to be, Christians, if we are who we're supposed to be, Satan will oppose us. Amen. Well, Satan's not opposing me, preacher. Well, that tells me something right there about your spiritual life, your prayer life, your witnessing. That's going to give me a good indication where that lies, if Satan's not messing with you right there. He will oppose us. He doesn't bother those who don't bother him. He will leave the prayerless alone. He will leave the prayerless alone. So we got to understand our enemy. I think I'm going to say something about that also, but we have to understand that. Another thing is we see prayer, of course, is the key to victory. And I read verse 18 would help us in that area. 1 John 5:4, we spoke about this on Wednesday night just a little bit. It said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And if you wanted to use an amplified Bible, that word overcometh would probably carry out something like this, conquered, defeated, wins. You know, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh, conquers, defeats, wins, beats the world. That's it. That's how whoever, whatsoever is born of God, we overcometh. It's the this is the victory. Faith and, faith plus faith, praise. Faith plus faith, praise. Because, see, faith knows. That's what faith is. It's not hoping. You know. Say, I know I got the victory. You know? I hear people say, Christians, like I say, just don't give people, I had a lady, I've probably shared this with you before, she called a couple times and she said, well, I was thinking about coming down here and trying your church out. I said, well, try it out. It's great. I said, everybody's real friendly. Nothing weird going to happen. You still might not like it, but, come on, try it out. Well, beat around the bush. Finally, the second time she called, about a year later, went through the same thing. I said, that sounds like the same lady called the other time. She never did come. I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. So why don't you just pray about it? Cricket sounds. That's what I was hearing on the other end of the phone. Pray about it. It was like, what? Pray about it. Well, what goes that? Yeah, pray about it. God leads you down here. Come on. If you don't. Simple as that. Pray about it. It's like I'm talking to somebody that's supposed to know the Lord, say, interested in church, and you talk about praying about it. It's like, what? What are we talking about praying about? Faith knows. See, we know and we believe, man, we can pray. We got confidence in that. Because listen, if we really believe in the power of prayer, don't you think like prayer meetings ought to be packed out? If we really thought, and I know somebody smart aleck's going to say, well, preacher, you don't have to be down there in church to pray. You don't. But it sure would encourage me. Honey, it sure encouraged everybody else. If you was down here when we did pray together, and we could pray together, and we could pray, there is power in corporate prayer. The Bible teaches it. So just think, man. Wednesday night ought to be, we ought to have more people on Wednesday night than we got on Sunday morning. Yeah. Because if we really believed that praying, all right, well, let's go back to the house then. You're going to pray at the house. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're not doing much praying at the house, that's the reason you're not doing much praying on prayer meeting on Wednesday night. If we really believed what prayer could accomplish, don't you think our prayers would be a little longer than they are a lot of times and a little deeper than just, some of the stuff we pray about? Man, we really believe. Man, I have learned over years and years, and I look back now and I thought, man, when I first started pastoring, you think I'm dumb now. I was real dumb back then. I think about the stuff I didn't pray about. And I'm thinking, what in the world was I thinking? I'm not even praying, for basic, because you think it's got to be a super big problem. All we talked about, Margie and the piano. And Margie would do backflips down that aisle right there. If somebody showed up here at church and said, buddy, God led me to this church and I can play the piano like nobody's business, I want to be the piano player. Man, she would have a hissy. Being excited. Well, how many of you pray and ask God for a piano player? Well, that's not real important. Well, yeah, it is. I've asked God, send us a piano player. You're going to have to do this. Wait a minute, you're doubting God. Why can't God send us a piano player? And you think about it. If that happened, it would be God, because here's the logistics of getting a piano player. See, I'd hire one. But here's the problem. Number one, a piano player that's spiritually where they ought to be is probably already in church somewhere, right? So I got it. One is not. It's not spiritually where they would want to be for me to want them, have them. And then, you got an issue there. And then a person that say they move, you can say, well, somebody moved. That's right. And if they move, they've got to want me to be their pastor. They've got to want to be in church with you. Well, you see the strikes that are against us, right? We're in a bad way right off the bat, right? So it would. But is it too great for God to do? God can't do it. God's not got somebody up there in overcrowded Northern Virginia that's just dying to move down here to Buckhannon and do something new. I forgot to ask that new couple that came if she could play the piano when she got here. I usually hit everybody up, homeless person going down the street. Hey, you play the piano? I pray about it. I ask God for it. Okay, why can't we? We pray, and I used to think, man, I'll tell you what, I pray now. I pray now for Wednesday night, man, that we have a great service on Wednesday night. God of work, draw people out. I used to not pray about Wednesday night because Wednesday night is just Bible study. Hey, it's important. I used to not, man, I mean, you know, I pray now, I pray for Sunday. I'll be praying for next Sunday morning service. I pray for Sunday night, man. Pray for all these things that God, and I want God to be here. Listen, I just don't, you know what, it's great that y'all show up, but I'm kind of hoping God will show up too, you know. It's not going to do any good. I mean, we, you know, we can get rid of one of you if it's too crowded and get God to come, you know. If that's what we got to do. I pray that God will show up. I mean, I used to think, man, back when I first got started, man, you know what I did instead of pray? Just worried and hoped and tried to engineer a bunch of things to happen. Man, just trust God. It's easier. So, you know, we got to pray and we got to believe. And I believe if Christians really believed in the power of prayer, it would be a lot more praying going on. Let's face it, man, our prayer life at home, it could be better, you know, if you want to stay home and pray. But I got a feeling if you stay home and pray about coming to church, I think God will lead you here. You know, try that. Vance Havner said this. I love Vance Havner's writing. He said, the church is not developing her recruits into disciplined soldiers. We are fighting the greatest battle of all time with the most untrained army on earth. If strict discipline is necessary in art and athletics, how can we expect to be advanced Christians and stay in kindergarten? I mean, that's about it. I mean, we got to advance a little bit deeper. And you know, you guys may not know, nobody here may not be in this category. And the reason I say that, because you're here. But you know, there's so many Christians in churches, man, they are not thinking for a split second about drawing themselves any closer to God than they are. Did I say that this morning, maybe, right? It's coming back to me. Y'all aren't sure. They're not thinking about their relationship. You know, they've got to a point, they're saved, they're comfortable, they got security, and they're just not thinking, you know, I wonder if I could have a closer walk with God or should have a closer walk with God. Or did God, is God doing everything with me in my life that He could do, or is there more to, you know? I mean, tons of people don't think past this. They're not thinking about it. Man, drawing closer to God, I think, you know, you have, and it's like Vance Havner said, it's like being in kindergarten and saying, man, I'm staying here till doomsday, you know, and not moving ahead. And, you know, and in prayer life, is a prayer area is an area that we'd have to work on that. You know, the problems that we have as churches or even a people of God, it's not a lack of funds, it's not inadequate facilities, it's not a lack of understanding of prayer, and really a lack of faith. It, you know, so much. It's just, well, it is a lack of understanding of prayer, and that would result from a lack of faith. Most praying sounds like we're moving from defeat to victory, as I said earlier, instead of from victory to victory. Man, you know the Israelites, when they went in the promised land, go in there and take this city, go in there and take that city. That's all they had to do. If they'd have kept trusting God, 100% faith, guess what? Remember, they had to fight the battles, in most cases. But they always would win. And so it would be like, man, let's go take this city because we're going to win. Man, that'd be a pretty exciting battle, right? They go in there, boom, they take the city. Get all the spoils and everything. Let's go to the next city. We're going to go. They're going from victory to victory to victory. But boy, when you know, but you know how what happened to them, and AI had a little issue there. We're not going from trying to get from defeat to victory. We're going from victory to victory. Now, I always look at it like that, but we don't seem like that. The average church spends more time on buildings, budgets, campaigns, calendars than on prayer. Has to do with faith or believing, really believing in faith, prayer. Prayer is a secret weapon. Now, here's where it's a secret. Prayer is not a secret weapon to Satan. He knows how powerful it is. It causes him to tremble. Prayer does. He knows it's a weapon. It's not a secret weapon to him. You know who prayer is a secret weapon to? The average Christian. The average Christian. They don't see it. See, we're always on the, we think, and here's another thing that Christianity, with Christians, in the battlefield, especially in the battle context. We always thinking about being on the defensive. You know, it's like, Satan's coming and he's throwing the punches, and you know, that's why Harold, you know, like Harold said, we got a prayer advance, because he said, I'm tired of retreating. You see, Why don't we think of it as being on the offensive? You know, that was, you know, when I was a kid, and you know, somebody wanted to, you know, throw down, so to speak. If they was coming after me, I didn't wait for them to throw the first punch. If I knew they were going to hit me, I'm just going to hit them, you know, because that's they're coming to hurt. You know, if I knew they were going to harm me, I wouldn't start a lot of trouble. If somebody was coming, man, I'm going to nail them. Man, slow them down, and they, you know, get them limping, bleeding, hurting, tooth hanging out, something, you know, give you an advantage. I mean, be on the offensive. Why do we always have to think, and a lot, the average Christian's always looking like, well, we're always getting, we look at the world we're living in, everything that's going on. I mean, I understand. You know, I understand how it looks like you get, but we're not on the losing side, we're on the winning side. You know, we're on the winning side. Be on the offensive, and one of your offensive weapons is prayer. Prayer, man, and take the Word of God out, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm gotten bolder and bolder and bolder, and I'm not saying this to brag on myself. I'm just saying it's actually a statement on how sorry my Christianity has been most of my Christian life on not being bold about talking to people about Jesus. That young couple came in the church today. I never used to do this. They came in here, how you doing? Yeah, you know, y'all, you got a church background? Yeah, well, you know. Well, let me ask you something. Are you a saved individual? And the lady said, yeah, I'm saved. I said, how about you? He said, yes, sir, I'm saved. I said, great. Just ask them. You know, fine, ask them, you know, and see. I mean, get on the offensive. Because that, you know what happens? Sometimes they say, well, the best defense is a good offense. Sometimes they say it the other way around. A good offense is good because what happens is, you know what? Instead of you going, all the blows are coming, you got Satan going and you're going, you know, and you're going after him and his folks and they're the ones on, you know, get them backing up. Get them backing up for once. We can be on the offense. It's a weapon. And then back to understanding the enemy. The Marine Corps manual also said this. All action in war take place in an atmosphere of uncertainty. It's called the fog of war. Unknowns about the enemy and unknowns about the environment. But in spiritual warfare, that doesn't apply. That's not true because God has equipped us through His Word and through His Spirit how to understand the enemy. You know, here's the thing about Satan. He's predictable. He's predictable. All you got to do is study the Word of God. He hasn't changed his tactics one iota since in the Garden of Eden to today. He still uses the same tactics that he always used. You know what he does? He looks for ways to manipulate us. He looks for ways to get us to compromise. He gets us to waste our lives, and before long we waste a day, then a week, then a year, and then most of our lives are wasted. That's awesome. That's what he does. Gets us to doubt. Gets us to doubt God's word. That's all he tried to do. That's all. Nothing's changed with Satan. We waste a lot of time, and another way that Satan gets us sidetracked in that area right there, we waste a lot of time fighting on the wrong battlefield. You know, a lot of people think, oh, man, you know what the problems with the world are today? And then they give you a whole list. Boy, it's Hollywood, man. Hollywood. They putting out all them movies. Don't watch them, right? That button, that thing got an off-on switch, right? Got a remote control. You can change the channel. Don't go to the movies. Don't pay them. Don't pay them. Blew them away. Blew Hollywood away was that movie Fireproof. Blew them out of the water, man. They couldn't understand how a movie like that would draw the amount of people. And it made them stood up and took note. When they saw that. Yeah, Fireproof and Facing the Giants, all in movies. They could not believe it. Little old, you know, because them actors was sorry, man, in them shows. I'm telling you, they were. I could have done a better job than most of them. But you know what? God was behind that, see. God was behind it. They think, oh, Hollywood, man, you know, Hollywood's done corrupted our teenagers. No, what's corrupted your teenagers, Mom and Dad, is you didn't raise them right from the time they were real small and you let them get away with a bunch of crap they should have never got away with. And then they got to be adults and now what are they doing? Huh, that's what's wrong with society right there. Don't blame Hollywood. A lot of times people think, well, it's the culture that we live in. Man, you know, it's just like, you know, everything you see. Man, I tell you what, I didn't know when we was watching the Olympics. I told Sherry, I said, I don't know if it's the Olympics or the gay Olympics. I mean, every time the camera panned around, well, there's so-and-so. It'd be a girl out there playing volleyball. There's her husband. It's another woman. Got a guy diving on there, and they said, well, you know, here's his fiancé. It's a guy. I said, man, alive, it's like normal. They're talking about it. They had Johnny Weir. Y'all know who Johnny Weir is. He's out there floating all around out there like a fairy because he is a fairy. He's out there floating around. He's a Winter Olympian. What's he doing at the Summer Olympics? You know, but they got to promote that stuff. But that's not our problem. I mean, it's really not, it's really not the enemy that we got. Then we get up politicians. Man, I hear a lot of Christians that there's one place I go to preach, and this one guy, boy, I know not to talk about politics. He gets all fired up, man. When you get up there and you talk about what's going on in the election, this, oh, man, he's all jacked up. His blood pressure's going. His eyes are bugging out of his head, man. We're going, I said, look, man, the Republicans aren't going to save us. The Democrats aren't going to save us, for sure. They're, you know, the president of the United States, that's not going to save us. That's not our problem. We fight on the wrong war. We're on the wrong battlefield, man. The enemy is Satan. He's behind all that. The enemy, we get on the wrong battlefield a lot of times. Another problem is we show up in the wrong war. We get sidetracked fighting for a good cause, but not the cause of Christ. See, there's a lot of good causes out there. There's people, they get all jacked up. Boy, we're going on a medical mission trip. I haven't found one in the Bible, but I'm going on a medical mission trip. Now, that's not a bad deal. You go to some country, they need medical assistance. You're a doctor, you got a team of people go in, they need vaccinations, all that. It's a good cause, but it's not the cause of Christ. Man, he's worried about their souls. More so if it's only medical. You know what I'm saying? It can be medical only. I remember there was some groups, my dad even got involved with it. Man, they'd go up to Appalachian areas up in the cold country and that, and people that was poor couldn't help himself. And they go out there and help them fix their houses and all that. It was a mission of mercy, all that, you know, getting, we bust our hump with flood victims and all that. And, you know, those are all good things. I'm not, don't say I'm knocking that and I don't think we ought to help people. I'm not saying that. But boy, when that's it, you know, that's a good cause, but it's not the cause of Christ. Sometimes we get on the wrong battlefield in that area right there. We major on minors, man, whether we ought to sing two songs, like I said, then the offering, then sing two, you know, worrying about carpet, this, that, the other thing, everything, but what matters. We treat spiritual things in a casual manner. And, you know, a lot of times I think this will go with your prayer life. A lot of times what's wrong with the prayer life part of things is a lot of stuff we don't pray about. You know why? Because we think, I got this. We can handle it. We don't bother God with this. When he said pray about all things, he said, I can handle it. So we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, there's an issue right there. And we limit our prayer to selfish asking. Most of our prayer life is about our wants, our desires, and our needs, not God's will. Try this. Here's an experiment for you. Try praying for a whole week without asking God for anything personal. Pray for a whole week and don't ask God for anything personal. See if that doesn't change your prayer life. Look in verses 11 through 12. I want you to see this. I'm almost done. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Mostly, and it's all in verse 12. I said 11 and 12, but it's in verse 12. Against. Notice how many times that word against. Somebody is against us. Somebody is against us. And it's Satan. Man, he's against us. That's it. But you don't have to be afraid of it. But don't think you can handle him on your own. Amen. He's smart. He's powerful. You can't handle him on your own. You've got to be in prayer. And then you get the victory. One of the hardest victories we have to win also is victory over self. Why? Because that battle, where does that battle take place? It's right here. Satan can't make you do a thing. Old Flip Wilson, you say, devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Everything the devil made him do. No, it's half the time the devil's not making you do it. You're doing it just because you want to do it. It's right here. It's right here in your mind. We win the battle in prayer. And listen, it's not the same as saying, well, we'll just let God take care of it. Well, you know, God is going to take care of it, but it's not apart from prayer. You know, you have not, the Bible says, because you ask not. He's not talking about a gold Mercedes-Benz parked in the parking lot. We have not because we ask not. It's in the winning in the battle of our mind. You've got to get on praying ground to win on the battleground. Amen? Let's all stand.